One of my earliest memories, long before I knew about synesthesia or mirror touch, involved coloring and the confusion and concern it caused me. I remember sliding my tiny hands across a workbook whose thick course pages were constructed to instill a basic understanding of shapes in me and the rest of my kindergarten classmates. 5-year-old offspring of native Floridians or freshly immigrated families. Though small, my hands could still appreciate the dimples lining the heavy paper. Loose perpendicular strands from the carelessly woven fibers tickled my fingers like kitten whiskers. Quietly, I brought my face down and brushed my nose and right cheek against the page. Its hard black ink was embossed to corral savage fingers like mine into prescribed spaces, an early temptation against the tyranny of lines. With my finger, I traced the shadow of invisible images, experiencing them as living things, though they remained mysterious and elusive. "See," I remember telling my classmate who had the misfortune of sitting next to me. "There's a mountain here with the face of a wolf opening its mouth on it. And here, see the green baby dragon? It has pink hair and orange horns, and it's asleep." My classmate stared at my finger, delicately tracing the blank space. He squinted briefly, unsure of what he was supposed to look at, then quickly turned away to find something more interesting to do. I didn't pay his response much mind, though. After all, I had the shadows, which bounced against the nooks, crannies, and valleys of the page, as distinct as figures. They were like birthmarks in motion. Colors covered every inch of the page, but they weren't laid out like the ink on the cover of the workbook. This much I could determine, even at a young age. Instead, the colors on the page were like memories of color, firework trails in the tight spaces between the solid lines. The colors flickered so quickly that they appeared to shine as a single color. If I shifted my attention to a connecting nook, the entire image changed, flickering in a new light and creating in the process a grander, more illuminated image. Dogs quickly transformed into dragons, which suddenly turned into damsels. If I wanted to make the pictures visible to others, I had to hurriedly trace the edges of each discovery with a crayon or pencil before the image changed again. I could spend all day bringing images to life. But I wanted to be a good student, which meant following the teacher's instructions. "Just color in the lines, Joel," my teacher reminded me. But which lines? Which color? I wanted to color the lines within the lines. I wanted to color outside the lines too, where there were infinite lines to color that would squirm, expand, and vanish, depending on the thoughts that came to my head as I studied their living contours. "Done," squealed another student with delight. Was I just slow, or were my classmates blind to how much could be colored? I saw chaotic green-yellow scribbles on my neighbor's page, 100 nauseated curls violating a circle. It looked like tangled yarn gushing over the edge of an empty paint can. "That's not right," I thought. "The circle is obviously a darker red." A navy blue or a red-orange could work, I assured myself, but the circle was way too big and heavy for a green-yellow crayon. This was inexcusable. I looked back at my page. There were too many colors and images to uncover, but then again, who would appreciate it? It mattered to me, but it didn't matter much to my teacher. I just had to find a way to get through this dilemma, to earn a gold star, a telltale sign of being good. I removed the tortured blue crayon from the Crayola box and moved it firmly along the inside of the black line. As I did so, the shadowy figures receded from the page, chased away by the presence of a prescribed shape. With the distractions fading into the background, I was free to sweep the crayon lightly back and forth until the entire circle was filled in with blue. Maybe if I colored myself in this way, I thought, everyone would start to see the same things I saw. Or, barring that, I would start to learn how to focus my attention only on what everyone else saw. I knew, at an early age, I was different, even though I didn't know why or how I was different. In school, or at home, my behavior was never what you would call normal, or straightforward, or even easy.